Because now this one's wrong.
Okay, so we are having some troubles with, not YouTube today, but just logging in with the Google to YouTube.
Yep.
And so we're going to go live with Rumble, Instagram, and then our backup camera.
Yes.
Which our backup camera will be loaded up later this afternoon.
Yes.
Or later this morning, and then we will get everything done today. But let's get started.
All right.
And.
Well, no Q&A today, that's for sure.
Well, there'll be no Q&A, there's more time for the word.
There you go.
Hallelujah.
See, hallelujah. Pastor Tony.
Okay, well, let's pray in.
Okay.
And, wow. And we're going to say the Lord's Prayer and get started. Avanu shaba shabaim yikadeshim ha. Tavome huteke yi atseru tsanaka. Be aretke ashene asa be shamaim. Tilano hayom lechem hukenu. Uselak lano et ash meteno. ויאל תביאנו לדמסה, כי אם חצי לנו מן חרה, כי לכך הממלכה, והגברה והטיף ארד אל המיל אל המיל. אמן. בהשם ישוע חמשיה כנחו תפילים. And let's get started. I was in the middle of the prayer and got a little message, so.
Amen.
Praise God. I want us to understand something very important today, and what the world should know. Everybody go, we're living in the end times. We're living in the end times. Well, now more than ever, we're living in the end times, because we're living in God's structure of the end time, meaning he's on the last three. He's on the last three books of the Bible, and we've already experienced book 20.
Mm-hmm.
And book 20 basically is a revealing of evil.
Yeah.
Showing you that there is a presence of evil in the world that needs to be judged. Book 21 is the judgment and the crushing of the enemy, beginning, not the actual full battle, but the beginning of the crushing of the enemy takes place in Shin, which is the 21st book. I know I'm talking Hebrew, and I know I'm talking letters, and I know it's not resonating yet, but we're going to go through the Bible and you will see what I'm talking about, okay?
Amen.
So now, book Revelation will be Tav. You know, Tav is basically the final book. It's the 22nd book of the Bible, or it's the 66th book of the Bible, right? Mm-hmm. So we want to make sure that we're understanding the scriptures through God's vantage point and not through our own, okay? So, because Revelation must take place. Before Revelation takes place, evil has to be revealed. Before, when evil is revealed, then the beginning of the crushing begins. Then Tav, which will be the final conclusion. So 22 is the final conclusion of the whole matter. That's why Song of Songs is the 22nd book, and it's about the marriage. Acts is a 22nd book, and it's about what? The church and the marriage with God and the beginning of the church. And it also has a conclusion in it, but that has numbers in it, so I don't want to get you into that. But then you have Revelation, which is also the conclusion. Now Tav, the last letter of the Bible, is the cross. So on the cross, Jesus says, it is finished, in accordance to the letter, the 22nd letter. Okay? I want us to understand where we're at, and I really want to put something together for you as a study pamphlet to show you the importance of where we're at in history. Because if we look back at Psalms, and we look at Psalms, we'll see that we got really excited because, and I am still excited, and I want you to still be excited, that the Psalms seem to take us through the tribulation perfectly, okay? Because in Psalms 120, it says, I called on the Lord in my distress, and he answered me. Save me, O Lord, or Hatzilani, okay, deliver me, or rapture me from lying lips and from deceitful tongues. So, the book that it says 120 is the time of ascension, and for the next 15 books, the ascension is the journey upward to meet with God in the temple, okay? Our journey upward to meet with God in the temple started in 2020. It started in Psalms 120. The beginning of Psalms 20 has to be in accordance with the rest of the Psalms book, because the Psalms book are representing what's going on in the world at that time. So in Psalms 120, when it starts off by saying, rescue us from lying lips, that has to be what's going on in the world right now today, because all of the Psalms in whatever year is going to give you the activities in the world at that time.
Yes.
We're asking God to deliver us from lying lips. Like I said the other day, I walked in Walmart and they had a whole self-poisoning section set up. You know what I mean? You were like we will poison you for free. Stand in line right there. Mm. Have you been watching CNN? Have you been watching the news? Well, if you believe it, stand in line. And so I'm sitting there watching people like, are y'all crazy? And I want to say something, but I know they're going to call the police,
yeah,
and then I got to be a Christian, because yeah, I can't be the same Sandy. But they're going to call the police and say, this guy, he has to get out of the store. So I said, hey, these people are making their own decisions. Maybe yeah, I can stand outside and give them a warning not to do it, but I can't stand in someone's store telling people mm-hmm. the truth. So God is rescuing us from what? Lying lips.
Yes.
And he also, in verse 3, he tells you what will he do to you, to those lying lips, and what more besides, O deceitful tongue, he will punish you with a warrior's sharp arrow. Ooh. And burning coals of a broom tree. So the end of the liars, who are all agreeing to this lie, is burning fire and coals. So they're all gonna end up in hell, okay? So if you had someone innocent that passed away in the midst of this lie, the people who are responsible are going to pay the price
yes.
for the lie. God yes. has promised that, okay?
Yes.
Now, then it says, woe to me, I dwell in Meshech, because Israel's saying, we're still here in darkness, we're still in the tents of Kedar. And it says, too long we have lived among them that hate us. So the hatred for Israel did continue in 2020, while the whole world was being lied to,
yep.
okay? I am a man of peace, but when I speak, they are for war, and Israel is still the same. They want peace, but they know that the neighbors are not gonna get it. I think just last week, there was rockets shot over in Israel from yep. Palestine, and they had to go and defend themselves once again,
yep.
okay? And so all this is being set up to get rid of God's people. Now, in Psalms 121, it says, I lift up my eyes to the hill, where does my help come from? Israel speaking. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your feet slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Talking about Israel. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither sleep nor slumber. Okay? The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. This is the promise to Israel in 2021. Why? Because something's going to happen. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over you. The Lord will watch over your coming and your going from this time and forward. Okay? So, from 2021 and the rest of the time, God is saying, I got you. Mm-hmm. Israel, from 2021 on, do not worry, do not be stressed, I got you. It is a promise from God. From this day forth, from 2021 on, I'm going to protect you, I'm going to bring you through this. So don't faint, don't blink, because God is with you. God is with the nation of Israel. Okay, in 2022, something incredible must happen, because all of a sudden, they are saying, I rejoice with those who said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Our feet are standing in your gates, O Jerusalem. So now a temple of God has been built in 2022. The church is gone. Look at the end of the book. Once the church is gone, the attack comes, Israel is rescued by a false Messiah. The false Messiah lets them know that we are going to protect you and we're going to have a 7-year peace agreement, and now Israel will be able to rebuild the temple. They will build the temple, and then now they're in the middle of a tribulation period. They're in the middle of Jacob's trouble, but in the beginning, they're not going to know they're in the middle of Jacob's trouble, because the deceiver deceives by peace. He does not deceive by war in the beginning. He deceives by peace. And so this peace, they will believe. So I want to talk about what happened in 2020 and what's going on in 2021 and what will happen in 2022. Because in 2022, 23 and 24 would be the middle of the tribulation. And then that chapter, of course, talks as if it's right in the middle of the tribulation.
Amen.
So let's talk. I want you to go to study with me the book of Isaiah, chapter 65. Now, it should not be hard. I'm putting it to more pressure on myself than I need. The book of Isaiah is called the mini Bible. Why is it called the mini Bible? Because there are 66 books in the book of Isaiah. The 66 books are in accordance with the 66 books that are in the Bible, okay? So when you get to book 17, is going to give you the story of what's going on in the 17th book, which is Esther. When it gets to book 20, it's going to give you what's going on in that book.
Chapter 20?
Yeah, chapter 20. When you get to chapter 40, which would be Matthew, you're going to see the statement of John, I am here to open the way for the one who's coming, which is Christ. Okay? So then John makes that statement in 40. So you'll see that each book is a mirror of the 66 books of the Bible. I can't say the word. Our friend knows what. Okay, so I'm getting old. Okay, so what's going on here is you have 66 books that are mirroring the 66 books. So when you get to the chapter 66 of Isaiah, you're really reading Revelation. When you get to 65, You're really reading Jude or what's happening right before the, but right before Revelation, okay? Mm-hmm. When you get to 64, you're reading what happened in 2022 or in John or in third John. So you're going 20, 21, 22, you're in the middle of it, okay? Because this is what the lawyer said to me. No, you're trying to, I'm concluding the book according to letters. And so now you were at letter Resh, which was evil. It was exposed to you, to the whole world. Now you're in book Shin, which is the beginning of the crushing of the enemy. Now, next you will be, the world will be in book of Revelation, which the church will be gone and Israel will be able to build their temple, and the whole scenario of the book of Revelation will be able to conclude so that God can say in Tav, it is finished. Okay? The same as Christ on the cross, 22, okay? Because Tav is the 22nd book. I'm trying to get you to understand where God has my head. This is not something that you can draw a long, drawn out 10-year ministry. You can't do that with what the Lord is showing me here. You understand? Israel is going to celebrate its 73rd birthday, okay? In an 80-year count, you only have 7 years left on what they call the last generation, okay? So we're looking at the conclusion of the last generation right here, okay? Now, once we do that, I want us to look at what happens in Isaiah 65, okay? Because in Isaiah 65 is now what you would call year 2021, or Isaiah 65 is what you would call the 21st book of the Bible, or being the last book before the book of Revelation, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, this is what it says. It says, I revealed myself to those who did not ask for me. I was found by those who did not seek me, to a nation that did not call on my name. I said, here I am, here I am. All day long, I have held out my hand to an obstinate people who walk in the ways not good, pursuing their own imagination. Now, the first thing he addresses is, I revealed myself to those who did not ask for me. And who are those? The Gentile nation. I was found by those who did not seek me. Who? The Gentile nation. I am here all day long. I held out my hand to an obstinate people who walked in the ways not good, pursuing their own imagination. Hmm. Who is that? Israel. The nation of Israel. So in the 21st book, or in the 21st letter, God is letting you know right before Revelation, the rescue of the Gentiles has happened, or is about to happen. And these are people that were not my people who are going to benefit from me. But the people who I wanted to benefit from me, I've held out my hand to them, and they've ignored me, and they've walked in their own imagination. What are they doing? They're sowing fig leaves, trying to cover their own sin, okay? And God is like, no, I've already explained that to you in Genesis. The fig tree cannot cover its own sin.
Right.
You must be covered by Christ. But you're not going to be covered by Yeshua until you call out, Baruch Abba B'Shem Adonai, come. He that is blessed of the Lord, come. You're going to ask God to come and rescue you, okay? And then God will come and rescue Israel. And then once he comes and rescues them, he will do what is in the book of Jeremiah 31, verse 31. This is what God says. The time is coming, declared the Lord. What's the new covenant? Brit Hadashah. What is the new covenant of the Bible? They call it the New Testament. You know what they call it? The Brit Hadashah. It says, there's coming a time where I'm going to make a Brit Hadashah with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their forefathers when I took them by the hand and led them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant. It says, though I was a husband to them. Remember, the divorce happened. A divorce has happened to Israel because they broke the covenant that they agreed to. And God says, but in the future, I'm going to come and bring you a new covenant. Oh, my goodness. God is so incredible in what he's doing. Now, listen to this, Pastor Ben. They know, Jews know, the Levitical covenant says, or the Torah says, that a wife cannot have a new husband unless her husband dies. And if God divorced Israel, they cannot get married again unless their husband dies. Thus Christ on the cross. Thus Yahweh above his head. Because God has to die for Israel to have a new covenant, and then Israel has to call out and accept that new covenant, which is Yeshua. They will not do that until the end of the seven years of tribulation. Mm. But here we have in Isaiah 65, let's read more about what's going on. First, he rescues the Gentiles. He says, I revealed myself to those who did not ask for me. Okay, in verse 2, it says, all day long I held out my hand to an obstinate people, right?
Right.
Who walked in their own way, their own ways, not good, pursuing their own imagination. People who continually provoke me to my very face, offering sacrifices in gardens and burning incense on altars of brick, who sit among the graves and spend their nights keeping the secret vigil, who eat the flesh of pigs and whose pots hold broth of unclean meat, who say, keep away, don't come near me, for I am too sacred for you. Mm. Now listen. Even though they are not in agreement with God, they still hold the mantle of being, I'm God's people, right? It says, such people are smoke in my nostril, a fire that keeps burning all day. If you go to verse 17, it says, behold, I will create a new heaven and a new earth. Are we in the book of Revelation yet? No, because you're not in chapter 66 yet. But in 17 of 65, it says, behold, I create a new heaven and a new earth. Former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind. Be glad and rejoice forever in what I will create, for I will create Jerusalem to be a delight and its people a joy, and I will rejoice over Jerusalem and take delight in my people. The sound of weeping and of crying will be heard in it no more. Neither again will there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not live out his years. He who dies at 100 will be thought a mere youth, and he who fails to reach the 100 will be considered accursed. They will build houses and dwell in them, and they will plant vineyards and eat their fruit, and no longer will they build houses for other people to live in them. Mm. Okay, now, God is declaring what? Even though I've rescued the Gentiles, and I reached out my hand to this obstinate people who never accepted me, but the people that I didn't call for have accepted me, Now I'm going to accept, I'm going to take in the Gentiles. I'm going to pull the Gentiles out of the world. I'm going to get to the regrouping and the regathering of the Jewish nation. Okay? Never again are they going to be, then they will know God. You understand? Then the Spirit of God will be put inside of them, because now the word that they couldn't keep before is now going to be planted inside of them, as it is the church, right?
Yes, yes.
So Israel's time is coming, but we're in this book 65, and book 65 is stating to you what? What book 66 is going to conclude, okay? 2021 is a statement to show you what's going to conclude in the book of Revelation, okay? In 66, it says, heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. Where is the house you will build for me? Where will my resting place be? Has not my hands made all these things? And so they came into being, declares the Lord. I want you to stop and listen. In Psalms 122, what's going on? They build a house. They say, let us go to the house of the Lord. For the first time in Psalms 122. What is 22? The book of Revelation. Okay? Now, in Psalm 66, which is the book of Revelation, he says, what kind of house are you going to build for me? He says here, heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house you will build for me? Where will my resting place be? Has not my hands made all these things? So God is saying, the house you're building is not mine. You're building a house, but I already told you when Messiah comes back, he's going to build the house. So they're going to build this house. The Antichrist is going to allow them. They're going to rejoice over it. And they're going to say, I rejoice when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord. But God knows the people that allow them to build that house are going to put so much demonic stuff in the structure of that house that there's no way a holy God could live in the house that the Antichrist is going to allow them to build. Yet, they will rejoice over it. It is not God's house, okay? When Christ comes back, he will begin to build the house that he's going to build. Let's go to the, wanted to add this, because last night the Lord had me read Luke chapter 21. He said, I wanted you to read 21, because in the 21st book, I'm going to talk about what's going to happen in the shin letter of the Bible, because the 21st book becomes that shin letter. And then what is Luke chapter 21 talk about? Signs of the end of the age. Okay. What is the whole story, the whole book of Luke is the questions, the same as in Matthew 24, which is all the signs of before Christ comes. This is why the Lord said to me yesterday, Luke 21, 32 through 36 is a continuation of 2020. So in the 21st book, this verse was talking to you about what's going to come upon the whole world is a continuation of what we've just seen. Mm-hmm. Okay, and what we've just seen is the beginning of evil, but in Luke chapter 21, it says, I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things happen. What generation? The 80 years, okay? 70, but 80 through troubled times, right? It says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. Then he says to the church, Be careful or your heart will be weighed down with dispensation and drunkenness. And then he said, some of you won't be getting drunk and all this stuff, but it says, and some of you will be weighed down with the anxieties of life, trying to make it day to day, forgetting about Jesus. Mm. And it says, and that day will close on you unexpectedly. What day will close on you? The rapture. And that day will close on you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all those who live on the face of the whole earth. Be always on watch. He's telling the church to be always on watch. What are we watching for? The coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Looking for the blessed hope, right? So he says, be always on watch. I don't want to talk about the rapture anymore. I don't want to look for Jesus coming. Be always on watch and pray that you will be able to escape all that is about to happen and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. So if I'm going to be worthy to stand before him, I need to be watching. I need to be looking for his coming. I don't need to be ignoring the fact that we're living in the end times. I need that to be on my mind and on my heart so that I'm vigilant with my family, with my friends, with my own life, because I know what day and time we're living in, okay? So here we are. We've already seen 2020, the 120th year, and the conclusion is the beginning of the crushing of the enemy. 22 is the conclusion of the whole matter, okay, which is Christ and his return. Second time. Now I want to go to Romans, chapter 11. I'm going to have a little squig of water here. Now listen. I heard Zamir Safati. Oh, I hope I said his name right. Amir Savati, and he's talking always about Israel, what's going on in Israel. That God has not forgotten about Israel. That God is concluding his books. And by concluding his books, Israel has to experience Jacob's trouble.
Yes.
Okay? I think that's amazing for a Jewish guy to understand that, because it's hard enough to get a Jewish guy to believe in Jesus, but to get them to believe that God is going to rescue Gentiles and that Israel is going to go through Jacob's trouble and be left here to go through Jacob's trouble,
that's deep,
is hard for them to grasp, okay? Mm-hmm. Believe me, I've tried. And so I want you to understand what's going on with us as a body of believers. Remember what Isaiah 65 says, what? I reached out my hand to a people who did not know me, okay? Now, I'm going to start reading right here in Romans chapter 11. It says, I asked then, did God reject his people? By no means. I am an Israelite, Paul writes, right? Mm-hmm. Myself, a descendant of Abraham, from the tribe of Benjamin. God did not reject his people, who he foreknew. Now, who's foreknew? The church is foreknew. Israel is foreknew. I want to talk to you about predestination. Israel is predestination. They are chosen. The church is predestination. It's chosen. The individuals that choose to become part of the church are not predestined.
Right.
You have to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior to become a part of a predestinated church, a predestinated bride. So do not say to yourself, well, God chose me, but he didn't choose them. This is Calvinism and foolishness, okay? Because there's no preselection of who's going to get saved. Whosoever believes can get saved, okay? But when you talk about predestination, we're talking about what has been predestination before God began the plan. And what was predestination? A chosen people called Hebrews, because God's gonna use them to cross over. Hebrew means to cross over. God's gonna use that bloodline to cross over from heaven into the earth in the form of a man. Now he says, also I am predestinating that I will have a bride, a Gentile bride. That's predestination, okay? Everyone who accepts Jesus Christ becomes part of a predestinated bride, because that's part of God's plan. But don't you ever get into the thing where you start saying, individually, God chose me, and God did not choose them. That means God's up there saying, you go to hell, you go to hell, you go to hell. Oh, I'm choosing to go to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Does that sound like God?
No.
No. Whosoever believes, okay? So don't say that person's not chosen. He can't get saved. He can get saved if you preach the gospel to him, if you pray for him.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody is beyond it, because I'm glad somebody prayed for me. Okay, I came back to California straight out of a prison. I want you to know that, okay? And if I was someone else, I'd have been like, ain't no hope for that guy. I saw him in the newspaper, okay? So here we are, and we are reading Romans chapter 11. It says, God did not reject his own people who he foreknew. Don't you know that the scripture says in the passage about Elijah, how he appealed to God against Israel? Lord, they have killed your prophets, torn down your altar. I am the only one left, and they are trying to kill me. And what was God's answer to him? I have reserved for myself 7,000 who have not bowed the knee to Baal. So, two, at the present time, there is a remnant in Israel chosen by grace. Chosen by what?
Grace.
They're chosen by grace. There's a remnant where? In Israel. Chosen by what? Grace. Okay? Now, that grace means that they're going to get salvation even though they didn't search out Christ, just for calling out help. Okay? You ought to understand grace being given to a chosen people, and then not to try to throw yourself as a Gentile into, I'm a chosen person, and therefore I'm saved by grace and grace alone. You are in a covenant, a blood covenant, that you have entered into, and you're going to follow the words and the doctrine of Christ and continue in the covenant.
Amen.
Okay. So too at the present time, let's see. Okay, so too at this present time, there is a remnant chosen by grace. And if this remnant is chosen by grace, then it is no longer of works. Talking to Israel. If it were of grace, grace would no longer be grace. Now that's when Gentiles throw themselves in there.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, see, we can't do anything to get our salvation. He's talking to Israel. They've rejected the Messiah. But he says, I'm holding a remnant of Israel that I'm going to save by grace, not of the law, not of anything that they do. I'm going to come back and I'm going to rescue them, even though they have not accepted the Messiah. Because when they realize that the Messiah who they have accepted is not the Messiah, they're going to call out for the Messiah to come. And when he lands, they're going to go, wait a minute, it's the same guy who we pierced his hands and feet. And they're going to think they're going to be destroyed. And Jesus is going to say, no, come on in. I have saved you by grace. There's nothing that you have done to now deserve what I've done, because I've chosen you to be a recipient of grace. Okay? But don't you as a Gentile say, I accepted Jesus Christ and I'm chosen by grace and I'm saved by grace and grace alone. It never says that. It says you're saved by grace through faith. Grace through emunah, through your faithfulness to what you've accepted, okay? And he gives you the Holy Spirit to fulfill that. So you have to be real persistent not to stay saved once you get saved. You got to be. So here we are. And it says in verse 7, why then, it says, what then, what Israel sought to earnestly, what Israel sought so earnestly, it did not obtain what they seek, God, but the elect did. The others are hardened as it is written. So God hardened the heart of some Jews, of the Jews, right? Mm-hmm. God gave them a spirit of stupor. God gave the nation of Israel a spirit of stupor and eyes that could not see and ears that could not hear. To this very day, as David says, may the table become a snare and a trap, a stumbling block, and a retribution to them. For their eyes are darkened so they cannot see, and their backs be bent forever. So God is saying, I've blinded Israel. Know why he blinded Israel? Because when Jesus comes, somebody's got to say crucify him.
Yeah.
Somebody's got to not believe that he's the Messiah. Because once he's crucified, now he's reaching out his hand to a people that he did not choose. He's reaching out to his people, to a people that did not search for him. He's reaching out to a pagan nations that had no mindful thought of the God of Israel or any salvation coming to them. All they knew was sin and paganism. But now God is reaching out to the whole Gentile world through a chosen vessel, which he blinded so that the rest of the world could have a savior. So you can never be said, well, those Jews killed my savior. Oh, thank you, those Jews that killed the savior. And Jesus is saying, thank you because for that reason I came. We're not understanding scripture. We're not understanding the plan of God. So Israel is going to go through this, okay? Now, listen to this. How much time I got, Pastor Ben?
15 minutes.
Great. Again, I ask, did they stumble as to fall beyond recovery? Not at all. Rather, because of their transgression, salvation has come to the Gentiles to make Israel envious. You see this tzitzit on my, and this Star of David, and when I wear a tallit, man, Jews, they look, why do you have that on, right? They're envious, you understand? But we have a relationship with their God through Yeshua, who they said crucify him. And they don't understand this, okay? And it says this, it says, but if their transgressions mean the riches for the world, and their loss means riches for the Gentiles, how much greater will their fullness bring when they finally accept? I am talking to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am an apostle of the Gentiles, Paul say, I make much of my ministry in the hope that I may somehow arouse my own people to envy and to save some of them. He's trying to get some Jews saved as well. He says, for if their rejection is the reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? Mm. If the part of the dough that offered as first fruit is holy, then the whole batch is holy. If the root is holy, so are the branches. Do you understand that? Jesus Christ is the root of Israel. Jesus Christ is the root, the branch. He's not the branches, he is the root of Israel. Israel to God is a chosen people, okay? So, if the chosen people are dead because of unbelief, if they accept Christ, God said, how much greater is that than the natural branches begin to believe in the root of the tree, they will blossom incredibly. But we've been engrafted in. Now watch this. If some of the branches have been broken off, which they were, and you, through a wild olive shoot, have been grafted in among the others, and now share in the nourishing sap from the olive tree, do not boast over those branches, because you're only a part of the tree because of their rejection of the root. You understand? Mm-hmm. Don't boast over who you are in Christ. It says, if you do consider this, you do not support the root, you've been grafted in. You take a wild tree, you don't take a branch off a lemon tree and you put it into a olive tree, and what happens to the, and you engraft it into an olive root, what happens to the lemon tree branch?
It grows olives.
It grows olives. Did you know that? Study this. It's the olive tree is the only tree that you can take a foreign branch, engraft it into the olive tree, and the olive tree will transform that branch into an olive tree. And it will produce olives even though it's not of the original root. Now we got original branches that were cut off because of unbelief. But God says, what if someday those original branches want to believe and be grafted into their own root again? You gotta understand what God is doing, okay? Now, it says, do not boast over those branches. It says, if you do consider this, you do not support the root, but the root supports you. You will say then, branches are broken off so that I could be grafted in. Granted, yes. But they were broken off because of unbelief. And you stand by Emuna. What do you stand by? Remember, you guys, remember this. A Jewish person wrote the New Testament. Greek people took Jewish writing and put Greek words on Jewish writing. Was God a part of it? Yes, because he was making the numerical values. But he took a Jewish writing. So a Jew is saying you stand by faith is not saying you stand by belief. A Jew is saying you stand by your loyalty and fidelity toward God. So whenever I read faith in the New Testament, I'm never reading it as I stand by faith in Jesus. I believe in Jesus. He came, he died on the cross, he rose. But if there's an opportunity to sin, I'm going to sin. Why? Because I'm not loyal to him. Okay? God's saying, look, your faith, your emunah, is your loyalty to God, not your belief. Because demons do that. They believe. Okay?
Amen.
Here we go. It says, do not be arrogant, but be afraid. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he will not spare you either. Mm. Listen to that. For you, and that this crazy person that trying to attribute a friend to once saved, always saved. It says, but they were broken off because of unbelief. And you stand by emunah, by faith. In God, in Jesus. But it says, don't you as Gentiles be arrogant, but be afraid. Work out your salvation with what? Fear and trembling. Same words. The same God is writing the book. For if God did not spare the natural branches, which are the Jews, what if you become an unbeliever and an unloyal person and still want to live in sin? You think God's going to keep an unnatural branch that don't want to do right?
Mm-mm.
When he cut off the natural branches, y'all, come on. It says, consider therefore the kindness and sternness of God. Stern to those who fail, but kind to those who are, but kind to you. Provided, listen to this.
Mm.
Watch this. Consider therefore the kindness and the sternness of God. Okay? Sternness to those who fail, but kindness to you, provided that you continue in his kindness.
Mm.
Otherwise, you also will be cut off. The whole Bible speaks against one saved, always saved. You understand? Otherwise, you will be cut off. And if they do not persist in unbelief, if the Jews do not persist in unbelief, but cry out, Baruch Abba B'Shem Adonai, they will be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. After all, if you were cut out of an olive tree that is wild by nature, and contrary to nature, were grafted into and cultivated olive tree, how much more readily will these natural branches be grafted in to their own olive tree? Listen, in the millennium, Gentile righteous people and Jewish righteous people will live together in the presence of a holy God forever. You understand? And all of us will be there for one person, Yeshua, who paid the price for all of us. Okay? They're coming back, but they gotta go through the 7 years. See, I'm telling you truth. I'm telling you that the church must be taken out. I'm telling you truth so that you don't get so caught up in YouTubes and you're so concerned about YouTubes and this person said the rapture and the rapture didn't come and I'm losing faith in God because the rapture ain't happened. And stop, go back to God. Why are you in this in the first place? Are you in this because you're thankful for being grafted into a righteous root and God has given you his spirit to help you grow and be a righteous person for an eternal life? Or are you excited about a cherry that's on top of a cake that has nothing to do with the cake? The cherry is a topping. It's a beautiful topping. It tastes wonderful. They're sweet and wonderful, just like the rapture. But the rapture cannot compare to me coming forth, accepting Jesus Christ, getting rid of an old sin nature, having the Spirit of God mold me into a righteous behavior, and so that I inherit the kingdom of God, and that I'm now in relationship to God who created all things. That's cake.
Yes.
I'm more excited about the cake than I am the cherry. And that's what the people of God have to understand. The rapture is a done deal. You get a cherry. It's a done deal. But make your faith and your love be the fullness of what God has given you.
Man, 5 minutes, Pastor.
Okay. Now here we go. The meat of what we're talking about. I do not want you to be ignorant, he's talking to you Gentiles, of the mystery. Okay? Now you know, okay? They've been cut off. It says, I do not want you to be ignorant of the mystery, brother, so that you may not be conceited, you Christians. Israel has experienced a hardening in part until the full number of Gentiles, eskomachi, which means, what? Do I have to look up the Greek words? Why do I gotta study? Study to show thyself approved. Don't read, because you say, watch this. My name is Bishop, Reverend, Doctor, so and so, right? And right here, it says that, Israel has experienced a hardening in part until the full number of Gentiles come into the knowledge of Jesus Christ. That has nothing to do with coming into the knowledge of Jesus Christ. It says that the full number of the Gentiles is skomahi. That means to leave, to travel, and to enter another city. What? The full number of Gentiles have to leave and enter another city? Look the word up, okay? And it says, and so all of Israel will be saved. When? After the Gentiles leave. And so all of Israel will be saved as it is written. The deliverer, Jesus, will come out of heaven, Zion, and he will turn godlessness away from who? Jacob, which is Israel, because they're going to say, Baruch Abba B'Shem Adonai, and he's going to come and rescue them, right? And it says, and this is my covenant with them when I take away their sin. As far as the gospel is concerned, they are enemies on your account. Talk to a Jew about Jesus. Hmm. They're your enemies right now. But as far as the election is concerned, chosen, right?
Mm-hmm.
They are loved on the account of the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, okay? Because God made a promise to them, right?
Right.
For God's gift and his call are irrevocable. God's gift to them as a people is irrevocable. His promise to them is irrevocable. He said, this is going to be fulfilled, okay? Now, just as you who were at one time disobedient to God have now received mercy as a result of their disobedience, so they too have now become disobedient in order that they too may now receive mercy as a result of God's mercy to you. For God has bound all men over to disobedience so that he may have mercy on them all. Oh, the depth and the riches of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. Wow. It's like, what has God done? He's figured out a way to rescue Gentiles and a chosen people from a world of billions of people. Do you realize that the God who built the house and showed kindness and opened the door because God wanted a bride so that he can do what? Multiply his house. I want some kids. I've already done this angel thing. I want some people just like me with my spirit living in the, inside of them. I want some kids that have my DNA, my blood. I want them. So I figured out a way to graft in the whole world through Yeshua. And so this book is coming to the conclusion. When the fullness of the Gentiles leave and enter the city, Zion in heaven, says, then all of Israel will be saved. Why? Because now God is going to get back to saving the nation of Israel. We're in a great place right now. You're in book 21. You understand? You're in Jude, okay? You're in the Shin. You're in the beginning of the crushing of the enemy, okay? Notice that Revelation starts off with what? Here's the story of the churches. Then chapter 4 says, oh, and the door stood open and said, come up here, okay? So understand that, okay? Is not, the book of Revelation is not about the church. The book of the Revelation is about what happens after the church leaves. Praise God.
Amen. Pastor, there's some of our YouTube members on these formats that don't know what happened.
Oh, well, you want me to tell them?
Yes.
This is what happened, you guys. I'm gonna turn this way. We were dealing with some technical difficulties with Google. When they're not mad at us, YouTube's not mad at us. We had some technical difficulties. Pastor Ben entered his password too many times,
yeah.
So they blocked him out. So we had to go on this system today. I hope you enjoyed the message. I don't think we'll be doing question and answer today because we don't have our people that are working on the other side. But thank you. Listen to this message because it is very important what God has given me. Sunday's message is called The Destruction of the Nephilim, and I hope that you're here to see and to understand it, because I think humans don't really understand that we have a demonic enemy disguised and living amongst us. Praise God.
Amen. Hallelujah. Excellent.